there.
And there is no kingdom of God from Adam all the way to Jesus Christ, all through that Old Testament. The spiritual kingdom left. Now we know that in Genesis chapter 5 verse 3, the Bible says, everyone born since that time have been born with Adam's image and Adam's likeness. And the scripture says, dead in trespasses and sins. Now that's very important. If you ever deal with a Calvinist, that's very important. Because all through that Old Testament, there's no new birth. The people there were born dead in trespasses and sin in the image of Adam, and they died that way. And when they passed away, if they were righteous according to the law, they went to paradise, which was in the heart of the earth, Abraham's bosom. Nobody could get into heaven till after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know paradise changed locations from there up to the third heaven. So everyone born through the Old Testament were born dead in trespasses and sins. They died that way, and yet the scripture says they had a free will. So Johnny Boy Calvin and his followers are entirely wrong. They teach total depravity, which in reality is total inability. They say an unsaved man can't do anything. He can't receive Christ. He's dead, and they, you know, all this nonsense. But all through that Old Testament, they had a free will. And they could do what God told them to do to be right, or they could reject it and be wrong. But they had the choice. Now, that's obvious all through there. If I can find it here real quick, let me give you one verse that is good enough. Ezra chapter 7 says this, I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem to go with thee. So that's one verse, and there's plenty more, but it tells you plainly that they had a free will. They could choose. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen preached, he told that bunch, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And so I've never personally, the sovereignty of God, you hear people talk about that. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the text of the King James Bible do you find sovereign, sovereign grace, sovereignty. You don't find that. Now, you do find that God is almighty. He's omnipotent. We know that, omnipresent. He's almighty. And I don't have any doubts that if he wanted to overpower somebody, he could do it. He wouldn't have any problem. But he doesn't do that. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. And he does it through the preaching of the word of God. God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And so when the word of God goes out, that's why we believe in soul winning and street preaching. The word of God goes out, then the Holy Spirit convicts men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And sin is they've not believed on me. That's a sin that'll put you in hell. And when the word of God goes out, then they have an opportunity. They have to make a choice. They're either going to receive Christ or they're not. Now, we can't control the outcome, but we can take a King James Bible and lead a man or woman to Jesus Christ. And, you know, he that winneth souls is wise. If you want to be wise, be a soul winner. And if you want to be stupid, just neglect all that. Go to the judgment seat of Christ empty-handed. But we're talking about the kingdom of God. Everyone born after the fall of Adam has been born with Adam's image and Adam's likeness, dead in trespasses and sins. And that's why you must be born again. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And Adam had it, and he lost it. The kingdom of God left there when Adam sinned, and it didn't come back till Jesus Christ showed up. And so today, the only kingdom that's here right now is the kingdom of God. And we're out here preaching, trying to win men and women to Jesus Christ, keep them out of hell. But when the church is caught out of here, the kingdom of God goes with it. And then the only kingdom that'll be left here is the kingdom of death, hell, destruction, and damnation, the Antichrist. Daniel's 70th week will run its course, and at the end of that seven-year period, then the church will come back with Jesus Christ, literally. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's all in the book. And the King of Kings over the literal kingdom and the Lord of Lords over the spiritual kingdom will take the throne of David, and he will rule for 1,000 glorious years over this earth, literally. Now, we take the Bible literally for a good reason, because it is literal. We receive it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the words of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. And so we believe the book just like it's wrote. If it's a picture, or, you know, if he's trying to give you a picture of something, it's always defined in the context. And if you want to fix context, you just simply, you find out who's talking, who he's talking to, and what he's talking about. And that'll fix the context every time. And so if you read these parables in the Gospels, you read about the kingdom of heaven, you're reading about the literal earthly Davidic kingdom. And you read about the kingdom of God, that's something else. I mean, it's really not that hard to figure out. Galatians 2 says that Simon Peter, his primary ministry was to the Jew, the circumcision. Secondarily, to the Gentile. And he opened the door to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. And over in chapter 11, when he was relating what took place, they concluded that God had opened the door of repentance, granted repentance to the Gentiles. And thankfully, he did. That's how we got in. So it's a fact that the Apostle Paul, his primary ministry, according to Galatians 2, is to the Gentiles, secondarily to the Jew. And everywhere he went, he wanted to preach to the Jews. He tells you that he was willing to go to hell to get them saved. I mean, he said, I would willing that I myself would be accursed that they might be saved. So he had such a burden for them, but God called him to go to the Gentiles. In Romans 11:13 and chapter 15, verse 16, he's said to be the apostle to the Gentiles, the minister to the Gentiles. So what he wrote is church doctrine, Romans through Philemon. Now, he also wrote Hebrews, but the very title of the book will tell you it's written to Hebrews. And since you and I are not Jews, and we're not preaching to Jews, and we don't require a sign, we walk by faith and live by faith, then that fixes the book of Hebrews. You have three transitional books in the Bible. Matthew, taking you from the Old Testament to the New. I mean, they'd been 400 years, they didn't have a word from God. And then you hit the book of Acts, which is taking you from the literal earthly Davidic kingdom being offered to Israel, them finally rejecting it in chapter 7, and everything shifting over to the Gentiles. It's a transitional book. And if you deal with a charismatic, ask them how come nobody ever got healed again in Jerusalem after Acts chapter 7. I mean, that's something to think about. And so then you got Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is taking you from the church age, the day of salvation that we're living in right now, and it's taking you over into Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation. And that's why a lot of those doctrinal things in there are written like they're written. And I mean, it just, to me, it's not that hard to understand. The Holy Spirit will enlighten you, and if you will just pray and search the Scriptures. And so the kingdom of God, then, is a spiritual kingdom. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, the King James is right. It says God is a spirit. The others say God is spirit. And that don't tell you anything. I mean, there's all kinds of spirits. The spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of a beast, the spirit of man, the spirit of the world. So God is a spirit in distinction from other spirits. And that's why the Bible says that. I mean, that's not hard to figure out. So God the Father, he sent the Son, and every time he got him a king, all through that Old Testament, we'll deal with the kingdom of heaven shortly, but all through that Old Testament, all you read about is a king and the kingdom. I mean, Samuel, Kings and Chronicles, I mean, it's all about the king and the kingdom, and it's literal. So the kingdom of God, then, is a spiritual kingdom that you must be born again if you're going to enter it, for it's within you. Now, if you're sitting here today and you're saved, you're a member of the kingdom of God. Thank God you are. I mean, anything beats going to hell. I mean, when God saved me, honestly, I didn't know anything about the Bible. All I knew, I was headed for hell, and I knew if God didn't do something, I was going to get there. I mean, you can't live like what I was living and expect to get away with it. So I did the only smart thing that I did up to that point, and I got to an old-fashioned altar and trusted Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And the Lord saved me that day, and I literally got a bath in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've never gotten over it. I really haven't. It's carried me all these years, 47 years I've been saved, and man, I've been happy as a dead pig in the sun ever since. It just works. I mean, I've tried it. The Lord offers an invitation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Try him out. I mean, I did. It works. I mean, really, it's just like a rotten egg, man. You can't beat it. That's all there is to it. And so the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Now, if you read the scripture and compare and believe what you're reading, you won't have any problem seeing the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of heaven, and I'll be jumping around because for time's sake, I mean, the whole Bible, the main theme of this Bible is the king and his kingdom. Now, one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to get what he's got coming to him. Now, on God's calendar, his big day was not Calvary. His big day was not when his only begotten son was tortured to death and became sin and wound up going to hell in our place. That's our big day. That's where we get in. But his big day is the day when he gets what God has promised him, the throne of David, and he sits on that throne literally and rules over this earth, Revelation chapter 20, 6 times in 7 verses for 1,000 years. It's not some indefinite period of something or other. It is a very definite 1,000 years. And so the whole Bible really begins and points to that, and eventually we're going to get there. Now, if you're faithful, you'll get to reign with him. And so the judgment seat of Christ is looming for us. I mean, if you don't do anything for Jesus Christ, sit around on the stool of do nothing and, you know, get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid and poison the rest, you ain't going to take part in the reign. I mean, you're saved, thank God, but well, it'd be a shame, wouldn't it? Spend your whole life and do nothing for Jesus Christ, and then when the kingdom comes in... Well, I told y'all, I don't want to regress too much, but I heard Lester Roloff sing that song, Must I Go in Empty-Handed, and I got down to the altar, and I made my mind up right there and then, I ain't going home empty-handed. Now, I may make a lot of messes and mess up a lot, I have. I've done about everything wrong you can. I didn't have a whole lot of instruction. I just had to read the Bible and figure out how to do it. Imagine that. And so I've made a lot of mistakes and done a lot of dumb stuff. I've been in crazy places and preached in places that I probably shouldn't have. But I've had me a time, and I've made my mind up. I ain't going home empty-handed. And so we'll see how it works. I'm going to be ashamed, and I know the terror of the Lord in the context of the judgment seat of Christ. And I ain't looking forward to it because I know I've not done nearly as much as I could or should, but I ain't going home empty-handed. Now, that's your determination, I hope. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. You must be born again. And that's obvious and evident. So now what about the kingdom of heaven? Well, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Matthew 11:12. Now, you don't force God to have mercy on you. We know when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, I mean, you're not going to force God to have mercy. If you come to God in faith, you come through Jesus Christ. That's his plan. You don't make up your own plan. John 1:13. You come God's way if you come at all. people that try to add water baptism or their works or the sacraments or whatever, they ruin it. That's not God's plan. God's plan of salvation is not you eating a cookie and drinking a little hooch. I'm sorry, it's not. Somebody dunking you in the water, that doesn't save you. That which is born of the flesh, it's just flesh. And the flesh profiteth nothing. That's what the scripture says. And so you can get baptized all day long and wind up in hell. And the Campbellites, that's where they're headed. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just the facts. Water baptism does not save you. So the kingdom of heaven is a literal, earthly Davidic kingdom. So the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, literally. Now we know that, so we're standing on it, sitting on it, walking around on it. And we learn from 2 Corinthians 12 that paradise is in the third heaven. So you can look up and you can see heaven. You can see clouds, and if you got a telescope, you can look on out and see star clusters. And I mean, you got the first heaven, you got the second heaven, and then the third heaven is paradise. And it's all literal. I mean, New Jerusalem is a literal city. And the scripture says it's free and it's the mother of us all. And I mean, it's something to behold. But it's literal. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So he created it. And then something happened. I mean, it's a literal kingdom. What happened? Well, we don't know all the details. But we do know that Lucifer, the light bearer, who was the anointed cherub that covered the mercy seat and reflected the light of God, Lucifer was put in charge of the earth. And we learn from Isaiah 14 part of the reason why God destroyed it. Lucifer decided that he would ascend into heaven and set his throne above the stars of God. He was king over a little kingdom. He was a spirit being. He's a created being. He's not everywhere at once. That's why when he rules this world that he does now, he has to do it through unclean spirits and so on, his cohorts. I mean, really, is he running our government up in D.C.? I mean, you read Luke chapter 4, make you think about it, wouldn't it? I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's the spirit and driving force behind all this ungodliness and immoral activity in this country. I mean, it didn't just happen. It's a plan. The devil intends to this. I mean, listen. Last time I looked, 95% of the missionary support for the world comes out of this country. I mean, you think about it. Why would the devil not want to destroy this country, tear it up? I mean, keep the gospel from going out. And so he was put over the literal kingdom. I mean, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, old Lucifer was leading the heavenly choir. He was created with pipes in him, like a pipe organ and tabrets, drums, a living musical instrument. If you want to know what's wrong with music, that's what's wrong with it. Satan knows how to take music and manipulate it to affect you. Now, you think about that. He's had 6,000 years to work on everybody. He knows how it's done. The music you listen to today, what do you hear? I mean, I don't care if it's rap and pop and rock and country or whatever it is. It's all the same junk. I mean, what do they sing about? Oh, I'm getting drunk and, you know, fornicating and all this nonsense that you and I got no business fooling with. And music does create an atmosphere. And it can be right or it can be wrong. And so Lucifer, the devil, Satan, I mean, the day he was created, he was perfect until iniquity was found in him, Ezekiel 28 says. So he decided to take over. And God said, ain't going to happen. You ain't going to ascend into heaven and set your throne up here. So he destroyed it. And the earth, it was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God drowned it out, literally. 2 Peter 3 will tell you some more information about it. But there's no gap theory. It's a gap fact. And all these scientists, oh, this Bible, you know, it's not in tune with science. Well, if you want some geological ages, put them back there. I mean, I don't know what the time element was from the time God destroyed it till he began to recreate it. It don't say. He might decide to wait a couple of billion years. I don't know. I mean, he's outside of time. I mean, you're dealing with a being that's eternal. Time don't mean anything to him. So, he began a recreation. And this time he put Adam in charge. He created Adam in his own image. And, of course, Adam lost the image when he sinned. And he was in charge of the literal earth. And we know that's a fact because God said in chapter 1 of Genesis, you're to have dominion over all of it, over the literal earth. And so here's Adam. He messes up. It's funny. Every time God got him a ruler, they messed up. Lost it. And so from Adam, then, the kingdom of God is gone. The kingdom of heaven is here. He's ruling. I mean, you look on down through there, man. I mean, from Adam on, it's just somebody trying to get in charge. And they're fighting over the kingdom. And I mean, it's just all back and forth. And you can read all that through the Old Testament. And so the kingdom of heaven, obviously, is a literal kingdom. And the throne of David is a literal throne located at Jerusalem. That's in the Bible. You don't have to take my word for it. You can look it up. But it is a literal throne located in Jerusalem. And in Matthew chapter 1, when the genealogy of Joseph is laid out, who was supposed to be Christ's father, which we know he wasn't, for Isaiah 7:14, the Lord promised that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which Matthew says was interpreted God with us. And so Joseph was supposed to be his father, but he's in the lineage of Abraham, of David, according to Matthew chapter 1. But it goes beyond that. He's also in the lineage of a fellow named Jeconiah. And so had Joseph really been Jesus' father, then he couldn't get the throne. And I'll show you that in a minute. But God cut the line off with Jeconiah for the earthly kingdom. Well, let's just turn there. Jeremiah chapter 22. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I am, so we'll just go with it anyhow and see what happens. Jeremiah 22, and here's Jeconiah, verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, you'll notice he removed his name, God's name, off of Jeconiah. The Jah for Jehovah, he removed it and called him Coniah. And he says, as I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thereof thence. And then he goes down, verse 28, is this man Coniah a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. So this is not just aimed at Israel, it's aimed at the whole earth. And he says, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of the seed of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. So God cuts the line off right there. Now Zedekiah did show up, but he was just a token king, got his eyes gouged out and hauled off to Babylon. So God stops the line with Coniah. The kingdom of heaven leaves right there, the earthly kingdom. Lamentations, Jeremiah said, the crown is fallen from our head. We have sinned. And so the kingdom of heaven left right there. And it began, according to Luke 21, the times of the Gentiles. So what happens after that, after Coniah? What happens is Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and right on. When Jesus Christ showed up, Rome was in charge. It was Rome who came through there in 70 AD and tore that place up, tore down the temple and plowed the ground up and crucified 500 Jews outside the city wall. I mean, Titus worked that place over. The Jews asked for it. I mean, at the trial, what did they say? We have no king but Caesar. His blood be on us and on our children. And God said, all right, if that's what you want, a Gentile king, you got it. So what happened when Jesus was born? Well, the wise men showed up and said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? King over a literal kingdom. Well, that's what the Jews were looking for. They didn't understand, even his disciples didn't, that he had to go to the cross first and give his life as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice to pay for the sin of the world. They didn't understand that part. They didn't understand. In fact, a lot of them, the rabbis, believed that there were two messiahs. One would suffer and the other one would be the one to deliver. But some of them, I read one fellow, I don't remember his name now, but he was a rabbi and he got converted and came to the realization that there was only one Messiah who would suffer and then later on would reign over the literal kingdom. And so Jesus Christ was born King of the Jews. And when he was put on the cross, they wrote an inscription over his head, "This is the King of the Jews." I mean, over a literal kingdom. Now, the Jews didn't want him. I mean, they said, nuh-uh. We'll not have this man to reign over us. Isn't that something? You'd think, after all the evidence they saw, and they knew the scripture, you'd think they would have understood who he was. But politics is a dirty business. And they were worried that the Romans would come and take away their place and their nation. Now, that's exactly what happened. They should have been like Noah. He gave it all up, gave up the whole world, got in that box with his in-laws, his daughter-in-laws, all them animals, and lived in there for, I don't know, 150 days, 170 days. But he gave it all up. And then he got it all back. And I'll tell you, you give up something for God, you don't have to worry about it. He'll take care of you. He always does. You can't outgive him. I mean, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He do what he want to with it. I mean, right now, he's allowed the devil to be in charge. But that's in his permissive will. Just like Saul, the first king of Israel, was in his permissive will. But his choice was David. You read in Matthew chapter 1, it says, David, the king. That was God's choice, a man after his own heart. And so Jesus Christ came into town riding on a colt, the foal of an ass, fulfilling scripture. For the scripture said, thy king cometh to thee, meek, riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. And the people were out there, man, throwing branches in the street and hollering, Hosanna to the son of David. You know, boy, they were having them a time. They thought, boy, here he comes. He's going to knock the Romans out. He's going to take over. A couple of days later, the same bunch was hollering, crucify him. Now, that's public opinion. You try to just please everybody. That's the mess you'll wind up in. But the kingdom of heaven is a literal, earthly, Davidic kingdom. When Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of David, it's promised to him. The disciples said, teach us to pray. And he said, you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You pray for the kingdom to come. You remember when Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1, after he ascended, or after he arose and was getting ready to ascend, and their question was, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he didn't say it wasn't going to happen. He just said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father's put in his own power. Well, it's going to happen. I mean, God has a schedule, and it's going to work by His timetable. And it don't matter what we think about it, and it don't matter who rejects this lesson. There are those that they don't want to believe there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And they don't want to believe that Jesus Christ is going to reign on this earth. They don't want to believe it. Zechariah says, in that day, His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, referring to the second advent when Jesus Christ comes as a man of war to righteously destroy the United Nations, to righteously destroy the kingdoms of this world. They're going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He's going to reign forever. Amen. Revelation chapter 11 says. So the literal kingdom is coming. Now it left with Coniah, and it showed up again when Jesus Christ showed up. But the Jews rejected Him. He was in the world. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. He came to His own received Him not. But the literal kingdom was still being offered all the way to Acts chapter 7. And when they stoned Stephen, if you remember, Jesus stood up at the right hand of the Father. And He wasn't standing up to receive Stephen. He was standing up. Had they received Him as their Messiah, He would have come back right there. There wouldn't have been any church age as we know it. I mean, He'd have come back, there'd have been a rapture. There'd have been a tribulation, and the whole thing would have been different than what it is right now. But it's all in the book. It's all a matter of just sitting down and reading it and praying and asking the Spirit of God to instruct you. He wrote it. And He knows best how it applies. And so, Jesus Christ is promised the throne of David. And it's impossible for God to lie, so He's literally going to sit on that throne. The angel promised Mary, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, call His name Jesus. He shall be great, called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And so, when He comes back, not for the church, when He comes for the church, He'll come in the air, and you and I will go up to meet Him. Now, if you've gone by way of the grave, your body will be resurrected. Your living soul that He brings with Him, 1 Thessalonians 4, will be rejoined to an incorruptible body like His, and you'll go up, and those of us that are alive when that happens, I hope I'm in that number, we'll just be changed, and we'll all go up together, and we'll be up there while the tribulation runs its course here on this earth. The book of Revelation takes you through Daniel's 70th week four times. You have four accounts of the first coming of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've got four accounts of the second coming in the book of Revelation. I mean, it's all laid out. It's divided. All you have to do is believe it. And so, each time at the end of that account in Revelation, He comes back and He establishes His kingdom on this earth literally. I mean, there's a difference between the literal kingdom of heaven and the spiritual kingdom of God. Now, that's all there is to it. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of what God says about it. And He's promised that Jesus Christ will sit on the throne. So there's no kingdom of God from Adam to Christ. It's here now, and when the church leaves, it leaves with it. There's no kingdom of heaven from Christ to the Antichrist. The Jews turned it down. The kingdom of heaven went back. And so the Antichrist will have his way for a period, and then the Lord will come back, Revelation chapter 19, riding that dreaded white horse, and He'll be wearing many crowns, and on His thigh will be written, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And boy, He's going to tear it up. You better believe it. He's going to tear it up. He's going to take control, and He's going to finish what God started. Now, you think about this, and I'm about done. I ain't nowhere, really. I mean, there's so much in the Bible on this subject. You could go on for a couple more hours, but consider had Adam and Eve not sinned, had they not, with painless childbirth, nobody dying, nobody sick, by the time of Moses, there probably wouldn't have been anywhere to set out on this planet. There'd have been so many people. Now, what was God going to do? The new heavens will be for the Gentiles. The new earth will be for the Jews. And New Jerusalem will be for us that are saved. He said, if I go away, I'll come again. He's coming. Now, he's preparing us a mansion. We don't have much here. My wife's always had to put up with me, and she ain't ever had much because I ain't no carpenter, man. I can't build nothing. I can cobble and gom with the best of them, but that's what they used to call me when I out at work. They called me Clyde Cobblestone. El Gomo. But one of these days, God's going to finish what he started. He's not going to populate that with a bunch of sinners. If a bunch of ungodly men got out there, you'd have Star Wars. They'd be fighting and killing and, you know, just like the movie. But he's going to settle the sin question here on this planet, and he's going to destroy it. OALC don't have to worry about global warming. But he's going to turn this thing into oblivion, and then he's going to create a new one wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, let me say this, and I'm done. Today, the kingdom of God is here. Hebrews 1 says that Jesus Christ is the express image of God. He had two natures at his birth, the Son of Man, the Son of God. God manifests in the flesh. And so, Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 4 says, is the image of God. The only way to restore the image that Adam lost is by receiving him. Not through works, not through baptism, sacraments, or any of that. Colossians 3 says, you've put on the new man which renewed knowledge after the image of him that created him. It all depends on Jesus Christ. So that's the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. When you read the parables, just keep that in mind and trust the Holy Spirit to teach you. All right, I'm done. Take a break.